Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in God's commandments.
Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generations of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches are in their house, and their righteousness endures forever.
They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous.
It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice.
For the righteous shall never be moved. They will be remembered forever.
They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, trusting in the Lord.
When they see their adversaries, their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid.
They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor.
The wicked see it and are angry. They gnash their teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked comes to nothing.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. At this time of our service, we will receive blessings and prayer requests. But before we do that, I would like to say thank you for this invitation. We've been kidding that I was the last man standing, I guess. And Clayton said he was. It's over the years. It's been enjoyable to speak in various churches. Tony Mason, a good friend of mine and probably some of you all, we used to always joke, we served on a hospital board together and we traveled together, and he would do one Sunday and I'd do another one sometimes. And I said, I'll never forget Tony. I said they were all thankful you were going to speak one Sunday, and it ended up being me. So Scott, his son, calls me the other night and said, hey, we're in a bind. He had been invited and couldn't make it. And then you all had somebody that got sick at the last minute. So thank you for the invitation. It's been a while since I've been here. I think this may be only my second trip. But some of you all I know, and it's good to see old friends. And some of you all I do not know, and it's good to see you all here. Do you all have any prayer blessings you'd like to share with us? Joys or concerns this morning?
I think we ought to pray for the people in Asheville, Cooksville, with all of the devastation that they have.
Yeah, so all of our tornado victims from Nashville to Putnam County, and then someone said there was one that may have touched down a little bit in Morgan County, too. I hadn't heard that till this morning, but...
Ooh. They're okay. The neighbors have to
get
them out. They've lost everything.
So, yeah, let's continue to remember these tornado victims. It was a bad situation. It could have been a whole lot worse. We know that Wilson County, I think, lost a number of schools. And I said it was just a blessing that we didn't have school in session. Good. Thank you. Yeah, let's continue always to remember our military men and women who are servicing our country now, but who were also have serviced in our country in other conflicts and times throughout our nation's history. We owe them a debt of gratitude. Others? Yeah, Sam and Lynette and their family. I didn't realize this morning that Sam used to go to Luminary. And when they kept saying Sam, I just didn't see this Sam Reese. So yeah, tell him hello next time you all see him. And glad he's doing well. Any other? Not. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for a time we can gather together as a community, as family, as friends. We can come together and we can worship. Father, and as we come to worship, as you saw this morning, there are a number of requests on our hearts, some shared and some unspoken. Father, it's the health of us as individuals, the health of our neighbors, the health of our family. Father, we always ask in these cases that we look to Thee for peace, understanding. Father, we know it's Your will that will be done, not ours. Father, we ask that You comfort us in times of sorrows and times of tragedies. Father, these men and women who suffered from the recent tornado across our state, continue to be with them as they reconstruct their lives. And Father, we ask that you be with the first responders and the second responders and the ones that who are assisting and providing them shelter and food and clothing, and as they set themselves back up. Father, there'll be a support of the community that we know that will be a time for us as a church and us as a community to minister to our fellow man and woman. Father, in the country, we are been a divided country, and we ask that we have healing. Father, that we ask for the decisions that will be made that will be pleasing to you. Father, we have a country that, in a country and a world that is in a scare of a pandemic, that, Father, we know that things come and things go, things live and things die. Father, we just ask that you help us understand, help us be comforted from the fears of the unknown. And Father, we have many individuals throughout our communities that are servants, and one of those, of course, is groups is military men and women and their families who serve as they support them. Father, we ask that your presence be with them and give them comfort. Father, in the United Methodist Church, as we struggle to go through new times, that we ask that you give our leaders guidance and give us comfort in any decision that may be made. We may not understand everything, but we hope it comes out to your will and not ours. Be with this church and this community as it continues to be a beacon of light, of hope, hope for what we stand for and how we live. Father, we give you all praise and glory. We thank you for your Son, Christ, who came and gave his life for us. Father, these prayers we pray to get today. And as we pray the prayer that you've given us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This time we'll have our children come forth for children's time.
Good morning. Again. Good morning, Liam. How are you?
Terrible.
Terrible. Oh, my goodness.
I wanted to stay home.
You wanted to stay at home? You didn't want to come to church? Liam. Well, our story this morning talks a little bit about a book that you might have heard at school. And it's called The Very Hungry Caterpillar. This one's about asleep, too. Can you hear? Have you ever heard of The Very Hungry Caterpillar? Has your teacher read you that book?
No.
Or your Gigi has read you that book?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Have you heard it?
No.
You haven't heard of it? Okay. Well, we're going to talk about it just a little bit. This book starts out, and there was a... Let me get my... I should have brought my glasses up here. Old women can't read. Shut up, Jonathan. The story begins with a tiny egg on a leaf in the light of the moon. And on a Sunday morning, the warm sun came out, and pop, out came a very small, very hungry caterpillar. Sounds like you, Abel. You're always hungry, aren't you?
In real life, they're very, very scary.
Are they very scary in real life? Okay. Well, he began to eat and eat and eat. And he was still, Abel's putting his hand up because that's him. And he was still hungry. Well, finally, he had eaten so much that his stomach hurt. Well, the next day was Sunday again. And so he ate and threw a very nice green leaf, and his stomach felt much better. Then the next thing he did was he built himself a house. And what do you call the house that he built?
A cocoon.
A cocoon, right. And the cocoon, you going to turn around, Abel? Come on. All right. And the cocoon, he kind of buried himself inside of it, didn't he? Buried himself inside of that. He built it all the way around him. Well, then he started pushing his way out, and he made a hole in that cocoon. But you know what? He wasn't a caterpillar anymore. What was he? He was a butterfly. Right. He was a butterfly. Well, this story kind of talks a little bit about Christians, because we come to church on Sunday, and we're fed, not necessarily Rice Krispie treats, but we're fed spiritually. We listen to the word, we listen to the songs, and we continue to grow and to grow and to grow. And like that caterpillar grew and grew until it came a beautiful butterfly, we grow and grow until we become a child of God, a beautiful child of God. We give our lives to Jesus, and we know that we're going to have that forever life with Him, right? Okay, let's bow our heads. Dear God, we praise You that in Jesus we can be a new creation. The old will disappear, and the new will come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go to children's.
If our ushers would come forward, we'll receive our tithes and offerings. Father, we ask that You be with these gifts, these tithes, these offerings, that may be used in this community and throughout the world for the betterment of our planet and our lives. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. Thank you all. If you all really remain standing, we're going to turn to hymn number 474. This is a Thompson Dorsey song, one of my favorite. I won't sung at my funeral. I hope you don't have to come to my funeral, though, you know, but... Thank you all. You may be seated. Thank you, choir, and Clayton and Terry. Thank you for your all service in helping in this service. It's good to be with you. Again, my name's Ron Woody. From our scripture this morning, if you'll like to go along with me, I'm going to not just read it and then have a message. I'm just going to go through the scripture. It's a story. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You're going to be very familiar with the story. But it, as I have read it time and time again and prepared messages on it, there's probably two or three dozen lessons that you can find crammed into the 17th chapter here of 1 Samuel. You'll be very familiar with the text and you'll be very familiar with the story, but hopefully you'll get something a little bit new out of it this morning. Scripture tells us that we should test and examine our ways. It also says that we should continue growing in knowledge and understanding. So the scripture I have this morning, even though it's going to be very familiar text, hopefully there'll be something just a little bit new that you'll bring to your mind and put in your heart and can take it to you this coming week. It's a story we all know. It's a story we learned as children in church and in Sunday schools. Many religious books have been written about it, both in Christianity and other religions. And even in our business world today, oftentimes people go to this story to find business lessons. There's six things that I want. For some reason, I put five in my notes, and I came down and I ended up asking six. So that's the reason I got confused this morning. But there's six things that I want to say briefly this morning. One of them I'm going to spend a lot of time on. The other, but if I spend 10 minutes on it or 15, don't get worried that I'm going to spend the same on all of them because some of them is really quick. But the one I want to focus on at the beginning, themes throughout the whole scripture. Now this story is the story of David and Goliath. But what I want us to focus on initially and throughout the message is understanding the perspective that everyone looked at the battlefield. The perspective that David sees, that the other soldier sees, that Goliath may have seen, that David's brothers may have seen. And what I want to relate to that is that as we go through life, as we see and fight our Goliaths, let's make sure we see the situation the way God would see the situation, that we not only see it from a different perspective than we initially thought, but that we may understand it. So the first lesson will be understanding your perspective or view of a situation. Are you seeing everything, and are you understanding what you're seeing? The second lesson is real quick, very similar to the first, is don't judge on appearances. The outward appearance, but judge on what the heart means, how the heart feels. Third lesson is do not be discouraged. Fourth lesson is you are being prepared. Fifth is use what you have. And the sixth is do what you know. So if you have your Bibles and would like to join with me, we're going to look at this view. This is, and I'm going to skip through it really quick, some of it. Some of them I'm going to skip over. Some of them I'm going to pull out based parts of the scripture to read. This is known as history's greatest battle. Theologians have said it is between the Philistines, Goliath, paganism versus David and the God of Israel. Christianity's viewpoint has often been it is Jesus Christ's victory over sin, or the church's victory over Satan. Modern day viewpoint is often It's a story of an underdog. And I would contend that all these years we looked at it as an underdog, we missed it. It was not a story of an underdog. You've always thought David is the underdog. Well, if he was, he won, but I would contend he was not the underdog. What I would contend is he saw the situation different. And it's a lesson for us as we evaluate our churches, our communities. Let's make sure we see how God would want us to see. Just as an aside, if we think it's an underdog story, why are we always pulling for the underdog? You know, is it because we think we are in the weaker position? Did David think he was in the weaker position? Have you ever been terrified in your life? Terrified of a surgery you were fixing to have? Terrified of someone who is in your life that is maybe on their deathbed? Terrified of the dark? Terrified of public speaking? There's another message here I'm not going to go into, and that is facing our fears, our terror, God's way and not our way. All right, we've had enough prefix of the story here. Let's get down to what the Scripture has for us. So I would encourage you to take this home and read it this week. Read it from... It goes to... So I'm going to preach 58 verses. I'm not going to do that. I've already been told at 12 o'clock the microphone's to cut off, right, if I get too long. But there's 58 verses here, and I'm not going to read near that. I'm going to read select ones. But interesting read, and read it again, and you'll find something new every time. But I will start here in verse 2. So verse 1 is the Philistines gather for a battle. And verse 2 says, Saul countered by gathering his Israelite troops. The Philistines are on one side. The Israelites are on the opposite side of a hill, it says. Each one's on a hill, and there's a valley in between them. Verse 4 goes on, and we meet Goliath here. Champion fighter. He wore a bronze helmet, a bronze coat of mail, weighing 125 pounds, bronze leg armor, a bronze javelin. The spear weighed 15 pounds. So not only was he a great man, a huge man, he was protected from head, almost head, from at least his head was protected, part of it, to his feet. Not only that, it tells us that he had someone out in front of him. An armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. Verse 8. It says, Goliath stood and shouted and taunted across to the Israelites. Why are you coming out here to fight? He said, I'm a Philistine champion, but you're only the servant of Saul. Choose one man to come out and fight me. If he kills me, our folks are your slaves. If I kill him, your folks are our slaves. Common practice in warfare at the time, because one of the most valuable resources any country had was slaves. So you did not want to kill your enemies. You wanted your enemies to be your slaves. So it was a common practice that you put your best, we'll put our best, let them fight it out. And he taunted them. It says in verse 11, when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. It was fear. So pause just a minute right here, and you're looking at the battlefield. We're seeing it from up above looking down. The Israelites were on one hill looking down at the valley. The Philistines on the other looking at the valley. And here Goliath was. Apparently nobody was down there with him, but they saw how big he was. And he kept taunting them and taunting them. Come down here and fight. Come down here and fight. And it scared them. You know, the questions are often asked, you know, what is your Goliath? What is terrifying you? What is the giant in front of you that you see each day or on a weekly basis? It was a giant to everybody. It was something to be fearful of. We transition in the story here in verse 12. It talks about David, the son of Jesse. And Jesse had 8 sons. So David had 7 brothers. And it says 3 of them were in the army. They weren't doing anything to fight for the Israelites. Goes down to verse 16, goes back again that Goliath, every morning, in the cool of the morning, would taunt the Israelites. And then apparently it's so hot they wouldn't do anything during the midday. And then every afternoon he'd go down there and taunt them. Strutted around, it said. Then you go back to David. Jesse, the dad, David is back at the farm. He's taking care of the sheep. And his dad goes out to him and says, David, I want you to take some goodies. I want you to take them to the captain. Take care of the soldiers. And report back about what your brothers are doing. So David, it talks about verse 20, David left the sheep and another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts as his dad had instructed him to. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving with shouts and battle cry. Verse 23, as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion of Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks, and David heard him shout his usual taunts to the enemy of Israel. As soon as the Israelites heard him, this is Goliath, they began to run away in fear and fright. Have you seen the giant? The men asked. He comes out each day to defile Israel. And it says the king is offering a huge reward for anyone who kills him. Now, I really like this. Some of y'all know what I do for a living. But he says you get one of the daughters of the wife, and then the man's entire family will be exempt from paying taxes. Now, is that not a great deal? I always have to focus on that because of what I do. So David asked the soldiers standing by, what will this man get for killing? He didn't know that. He finds out that. David says, I'll do it. David says, I'll do it. David's oldest brother hears David talking. He became angry. You know, what do you know, he says. You're supposed to be home taking care of the sheep. David, all you do is have pride and deceit. You just came here to see the battle. Does anybody have an older brother? Yeah, mine used to try to beat me. Well, he did beat me up all the days we was growing up. I got him back a year or so ago. But that's a whole different sermon. It's a good one, but in my mind. So the big brother tells the little brother, you don't know what you're doing. You came out here to see the battle. You need to shut up. You need to go back home. You need to take care of those sheep. In verse 29, he goes, well, what have I done now? David replied. He's being kind of scolded for something. He said, what have I done now? I was only asking a question, he said. He walked over to some others and asked them the same things and received the same answer. Then David's question was reported to the king Saul, and the king sent for him. So King Saul sends for David, what do you want? And David says in verse 32, don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. A little boy, a big giant. What do you think David was thinking? You know, I don't care how close to God he was. Do you not think a little boy would, you really question? I mean, he had faith in God, but that's a lot of faith. I think that David saw something we didn't see. The way you're viewing the situation. Lesson number two goes back to chapter 16. And we have a little story there where Samuel was going to pick the next king. And all eight boys was lined up there. And they were some good-looking men. Very athletic men, you would think. And then there was this little old runt, David. And Samuel says, well, we're going to pick David. Of course, the other boys, I'm sure, were jealous. But Samuel says, don't judge by his appearance or his height. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Tied into the first, know your perspective, is very close to that, is how you judge the situation you see and how David judged it. David talks to the king. King agrees to it. What does the king do? If you remember the story, it says the king says, okay, let's get him ready for battle. Let's get him ready for battle. Let's go put the gear on him like we're used to fighting battles. It reminds me of the American Revolution. When the Redcoats came over here and started fighting the Americans, what did the Redcoats do? There was a line of soldiers in red. There was another line, another line, another line. The first ones would shoot. They would kneel down so the second one could shoot. They would kneel down so the third one could shoot, and the rest of them was reloading. And what did the hillbillies of America do? We didn't fight that way. We were behind the rocks and the trees. And we picked them off. So this little boy, David, he sees this giant and he sees the fight a different way. The Lord had taught him to fight a different way. The king did not want to. They wanted him to fight hand-to-hand combat. What did David see? David sees a target he cannot miss. A target he cannot miss. You know, it's often said that, or often as you look back in history, as we accomplish things as a nation, as a country, as a world, that it's the youth oftentimes that do the discovery. It's the youth oftentimes that change the projection of where we go. Because the rest of us, we're all blinded by the way it used to be. And the youth have no preconceived ideas. The youth have no tunnel vision that we often have. We face our Goliaths with tunnel vision. We need to face our Goliaths with a new perspective. Lesson number two, our heart needs to be right. Lesson number one, let's look at the situation a little different. We need to view these impossible situations from God's point of view and help put our giant problems into perspective. Once we see clearly, we can fight more effectively. Understand your view. Understand someone's heart and your heart. Don't judge them by the outward appearance. Don't be like the brothers. Don't discourage others. And don't be discouraged. David goes through his little argument with the king, saying, listen, here's what I've done. I've killed lions. I've killed bears. I can kill this giant. King finally says, okay, do it. They try to put all the armament on him. That doesn't work. He protests to Saul. This is in verse 39. I can't go into these. I'm not used to them. So David took them off again. So he must have had them on one time. It didn't work. Tried it again. David picks up 5 smooth stones from a stream. And he puts them in his shepherd's bag. Then armed only with his shepherd's staff and a sling, he starts across the valley to fight the Philistine. The only one. Verse 41, Goliath walks out towards David with his shield bearer in front of him, with all decked out protection, and he starts taunting David, the little runny boy. Come over here and I'll give you your flesh to the birds and the wild animals, Goliath yelled. David was not going to do hand-to-hand combat. The way the war was always fought, hand-to-hand. He didn't even have to get close to Goliath. He didn't have to worry about the spear. David just takes his little sling from a distance and penetrates the head of Goliath. He goes back, lesson number 4. You are being prepared as David was being prepared back when he was taking care of the sheep. He was learning how to use the sling back then. He was learning how the lions and the bears maneuvered. He had been studying. He had been preparing. And I would contend that God is preparing us for our Goliath. Lesson number 5, use what you have. David had with him the stones. David had with him the sling. Lesson number 6, do what you know. What did David do? He didn't have the armament on him. He didn't know that. Nobody had told him this is the way you have to fight. He did what he knew. He didn't listen to the enemy. He didn't listen to his brothers in this case. But he listened to God. Many powerful lessons here. I'm going to run through 4 or 5 others, 6, 7 right quick. Be bigger than your fears. Size doesn't matter. Believe it is possible. Don't underestimate your capabilities. Giants are not what you think they are. There's always something in your way. Our call is to be the David. Don't be the Goliath in someone else's way. Don't be the brothers discouraging you. Don't be the soldiers that were doing nothing. Be the David. Story goes on. That one rock. He had 5. He had his backup, but it was the one rock. And he killed Goliath. Kill your giants. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for us being able to gather together and hearing your word. Father, as we study David and Goliath, we know that David's heart was right. He was in tune with you. But we also know that David saw things different. And Father, may the scales be taken off our eyes. The beams be taken out of our eyes so we can see our problems different. Father, that we recognize we are not the underdog because we have you by our side. Father, we thank you for this message and the many lessons within. May we apply them to our daily lives. In Christ's name, amen. If you'll join us, I'll stand as you're able to hymn number 452, My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
Take all my guilt away.
Father, we do thank you for this time we've gathered together. We ask that you be with us, that we may be safe this coming week, that we may do your will as we go in peace. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels guide uphold you with his sheep secure.